Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we ask ourselves if it's worth the fight.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on the conversation, the life and death of IndyCar driver Justin Wilson. A special letter from Wilson's family that they want us all, that they want people to read. I met the man twice, and I'll give you my experiences on meeting him. Also, the developing story of two Virginia news anchors that were killed. White news anchors that were killed by a black man. I'll give you my thoughts. And is the media grammatizing peoples like this in the mind of like a psycho? I'll explain. Also, Donald Trump, he is beginning to more and more look like I've said in the past, a real deal. Like he's not just a here today, gone tomorrow person. He actually has a plan. And Will Joe Biden run for president? I'd love to see more Democrats get involved in the race. But it wouldn't matter because all we really have to do is get Michelle Obama in the race and she'd win for sure when not doing anything. And also, where does Manchester United stand after a clean sheet in the Premier League against Newcastle United? Well, their 7-1 aggregate in the Champions League, I think, kind of says it all. So, welcome to the program. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. It took me, I'm 40, and I, you know, it's not our plan, it's God's plan, and that's what you got to do. And before I forget this, I want to talk about this, and I'll probably say this at the end too, but I want to give a shout out to August 11th, 2015 at Nine Irish Brothers on the east side from 2 to 6 p.m. There is going to be a St. Balrick's Foundation event. And if you don't know what that is, St. Balrick's is a thing where they do usually have like an Irish band and they Scottish band and they play music and they shave people's heads. And it's to help fight and end childhood cancer. And that's just going to be a really good cause. It's fun to go out there in October. Well, it's October 11th, 2015. My wife says this, I don't know. I'll listen to the replay, but it's October 11th, 2015, from 6 p.m. at night to 2 in the afternoon, or 2 in the afternoon to 6 at night. It's a great cause. People get their heads shaved, and all the money and proceeds go to fight childhood cancer. So check it out. It's fun. It's a good time, and I might try to get that day off to go. And no, I probably won't. I don't know if I don't know if I can shave my head. I probably could. For childhood cancer, I probably could. So could my wife. If I do it, she would do it too. So, hey. She'd probably kill me, but hey, that's what her relationship's for. As we move forward, it was a rough weekend in the sport that I live for. That you know what can happen. And you just never expect it to happen. And Justin Wilson was a IndyCar driver who was born July 31st, 1972, in Sheffield, England, near South Yorkshire, and he lived his life of racing. In 87, he began driving karts. And in 2002, he won the FIA International Formula 3000 Championship in 2001. He won that. And he has the record for the winningest. He has the highest winning margin of any driver. One thing many people don't realize about that man is he was 1.93 meters, approximately 6'4". And when he was going into Formula One in 2002 near the end, he did two races. They had problems because the cars weren't big enough for him. And in 2003, when he got full-time with Minardi Racing, they actually had to develop cars for his size because he was so tall. And, you know, that was a big issue because, hey, if you're going to go in and he really just can't sit there and, okay, we need you to fill in for this guy. Hey, we want you to race six races with this team because they would have to develop a car to fit his stature. And he was just incredible. And in 2004, the Red Bull team, Red Bull stepped up to give him a sponsorship and they got a car for him and everything. And in 2004 was when he went into, if you don't really know, back in the day, for a while, they split up IndyCar, divided, and you had IndyCar and Champ Car and Kart Series, and it was just a big, I watched them both, but it didn't solve any problems. It just divided the racing community, and then you had some people that only watched one or the other, and I'm like, I didn't understand the debacle of splitting in the first place. You know, but from 2004 to 2007, he was in Champ Car, and he was just an incredible, incredible driver. In 2005, Wilson moved to Rouse Sports team to partner with A.J. Allmendinger and won his first Champ Car Series race that year in Toronto. And then, man, this guy's got something. This guy's going to be someone to look out. This guy's going to do something. And he was always fun to watch on the track, and he had the Boy Scout sponsor, and it was just because I'm an Eagle Scout, so I thought that was cool as heck. And then when he replaced Sebastian Bourdais, I'm like, my driver, I'm like, okay, you know, it's all good. Because motorsports is one big family. It don't matter if you're drag racing, IndyCar, NASCAR, Formula One, Champ, it didn't matter what it was, you know, you're one big family, you know, and everyone kind of comes together and goes out for each other. And I remember listening to the radio broadcast and they kept saying that I just knew something wasn't right when they kept saying, well, we don't want to speculate. And I love IndyCar for that because I don't know if he was DOA, dead on arrival, or he was basically, okay, okay, we're going to keep him alive long enough to get people who want to see him, like friends and family, to say their goodbyes. But they're like, you know, we don't know what's going on. We don't want to speculate. We're not going to say anything. And they kept saying that. And I'm like, something's not right. You know, I just kept praying, Lord, miracles. You know, you got to do something. I don't know. It just didn't sound right on the radio. And my wife recorded it. And when I got home and I watched it, I'm like, wow, that was not good. It was, I mean, we deleted it. It's hard to watch. I knew something wasn't right. And it, you know, seeing that guy, you know, meeting him. And Stephen Wilson was in Indianapolis at the time. And Tony Stewart, the man he was, he found out about this and called up and he goes, I got my pilot, my plane, it's yours. He need to go to San Francisco, Allentown, wherever you need to go, you got it. Because I know you can get to the airport and you can do this, but you'll get there 10 times faster. And he lent him his jet. And it doesn't matter what sport you're in. If you're in motorsports, you're a family. And Tony Kanaan would do the same thing for Tony Stewart or any of them. That's how this community comes about. And I got to meet Justin two times, and he was always grateful for what he had. He was always like, you know, I'm from Sheffield, England. Of course, you already know that because, you know, you're a fan of sport. You know, so where are you from? I'm from Lafayette, Indiana. It's like 45 minutes away here, you know, away from here. And he goes, wow. I said, yeah, I don't really. You can actually get to do that, but I try not to take for granted how close I live to this track and the fact that I got to see AJ Foyt, Rick Mears, and, I mean, you name it. The, you know, I've got to meet Janet Guthrie many times. And you just, you know, and just seeing, you know, getting to see AJ Allmendinger and getting to see Tony Stewart go around in an Indy car before he went to NASCAR. And, you know, how many times I got to see Elio. And it just, you know, all those. Yeah, Earnhardt and Gordon at the track, even NASCAR and all that. And it's just incredible, incredible. And he was just always like, you know what, hold that interview. I'm talking to a fan. He was that type of person. He's like, if they're going to just film me for an interview that'll be taped later, I'm talking to a fan. Hold your, well, we gonna, I don't care, but then get someone else. I'm, you know, he's paying to see me. And that's the kind of giving person. He always just seemed like, you know, hey, how you doing? Like, what do? How do you? And that's like when you get a pit pass in NASCAR and you get to go into the pits, as long as you're talking to those drivers and the pit crew, like, hey, you know, like we were talking, me and this guy one time were talking to a crew member, like a Jack Bain and a tire guy, excuse me. And of course, this a-hole comes up, and he's like, man, this is bullcrap, man. You know, because, like, Kyle Edwards is, like, way better than all you ever hear about Earnhardt Jr. Dale Jr. sucks, and I'm like, and the dude left. I'm like, and this, the guy that was talking to the crew chief, to the crew member with me was about ready to kill him. He's like, we're just trying to talk to him as a human being. You know, they don't really hear that. That all that bull crap. And it's the truth. You know, they, if you treat them like a human being they are, they'll treat you like the human being you are, you know. And it was just, he was just always so grateful. And when I heard that he was an organ donor and saved six people, it's just, I loved it. I loved it. And this is a letter that his family sent out, and it goes, Justin was a loving father and beloved husband, as well as a highly competitive race driver who was respected by his peers. The family would like to thank the staff of the Lehigh Valley Health Network, Cedar Crest Hospital, Pocono Raceway, Andretti Autosports, and the Verizon IndyCar Series, as well as the entire racing community for the amazing outpouring of support from fans around the world. And, but most of those drivers out there, they come from nothing, you know. Most of them, they know what it's like, you know. They're very grateful, you know. Hey, I'm getting to go around this track today because you're in the stands. You know, you're working your butt off, you know, 52 weeks a year to have 4 weekends where you go see us race. And we're grateful for that. And that's something that he was just always that way. He just, when I met him the 2 times, it was just like, this is just amazing. And it just, it goes, like I've said on the program before, you never know when it's your time. And honey, I love you. You know, I'm just, you know, and that's, you know, you never know. I mean, he understood the risks. You know, it's not like anyone goes in there, gee, boss, I can get hurt. I didn't know going around the car at 200 miles an hour I could be killed. I mean, they know that, you know. But then you have the two things I want to get into really quickly. Do you do a Dan Weldon and have a pity party? Or do you sit there and say, okay, well, hey, we're paid to race. We're cleaning up the track and we're going racing. You know, because some people say, well, it's heartless to continue the race after someone died at the beginning of the race. But then other people say, hey, that's what they're paid to do. You know, they, you know, I can see both sides of it where, hey, you can be, you know, do you work for the driver? You don't do the race, or out of, you know, out of respect for the fact that you're a driver and that's what you do for a living and that's what you accept, that, you know, I mean, do you kind of have that mentality like the announcer said, you know? In the immortal words of Davey Allison, he said, that's enough. Get on with it, and you race fans have fun. Let's start the race. Because that's what Davey would want. You know, would you, I would think you should ask the driver. And if the driver would say, I would want you to, if the track is safe enough to go and race, then you do it. And if it's the driver's wishes to say, hey, if I was to die behind the wheel, I don't want the race to continue, then you don't do it. And I think it should be, that's how I would solve the problem. That way you're honoring the person who died, his wishes, you know, instead of some corporate guy in New York. Well, he thinks that, you know, for money's sake, we need to, even if a guy dies in lap three, clean up the track and just go racing, you know. Why not have it be okay? Well, the wishes of Justin Wilson would be to continue the race or not or whatever, you know. That's how I would do it. But wow, it's, I guess that's why we're so attracted. You know, when a car goes by you at 200 miles an hour, it's like instant heroin. It's like you're instantly hooked. And then it's like, well, it's almost like a soap opera. You can't turn down, like, well, Paul, you will not believe us. Like, you know, tune in next week at Sonoma to find out the conclusion. And it's just go one time and you're hooked. Motorsports is amazing. But I guess you can't go onto the field. You don't really have too many, you can't have as a fan go onto the field and, you know, okay, and Peyton Manning's out there before the match. No, but you have the potential, you know. But like, how many NFL people are sitting there camped out, you know, Friday night before the race? There are that in a race. People Friday night are camped out, but you're not going to see people camping out Friday night for a Sunday football game. No, but you go to an IndyCar NASCAR race, and it's cool to meet the different people. And, oh, you need to go to this website because there's a T-shirt site where you can get like the shirts and you can collect them. And because I know people that try to get, like, one guy was like, he believes he's four shirts away from having every shirt that they had that you could get at Kenny Schrader's because he's a huge fan. And I'm like, Kenny Schrader? Oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. I like Kenny. He was good. You're okay. It's not some of these, some of these newer people, I don't think they have the, they don't, like some of the older drivers, they come from the track side racing where you would work all week and then on the weekend you would fix it your car all week and then you would race it Friday and Saturday. You know, now it's like, okay, I mean, you couldn't, Robert Yates used to take and drive the semis with the cars back to the shop. You would never see Rick Hendricks do that. Never. You would never see any of those drivers do that now. Robert Yates did it back in the 80s. And nowadays, you know, you have drivers that do that. I need to get to the helicopter. I have to get to my private Learjet. You know, some of these kids don't know what it was like back in the day when some of those drivers that made it were grateful to make it because, you know, when they couldn't afford toothpaste or deodorant and they were luxury items, let alone paying for tires in a car, you know. Hey, if I borrow money for this guy to put tires on my car, if I don't win, I won't make money to pay back the guy that I borrowed the money from to get the tires, let alone any mortgage money or any food money. You know, like I was talking about with Frank Gifford, you know, people don't know what poor is. I sure don't. I'm not going to candy coat it and say, oh yeah, I know what it's like to be homeless or have to be without. I'm not going to say that. Don't twist my words, please. I don't know what it's like to have eaten dog food because I was that hungry. Well, when I backpacked, I've eaten some weird stuff, some like canned tuna and stuff. So hey, but you know, like the little like they have like the backpackers like chicken salad and tuna salad and things, multigrain crackers and all that. I've eaten that stuff, but I've never been like heavy dog food, so I don't really know what it means to be poverty stricken. You know, so because I know someone's gonna think that I said that or something. No. Wow. And if you were on planet Mars, then you probably don't know about the deadly shooting yesterday. Thank God no one that I know of has aired that video footage from the WDBJ shooting, where I think it was at like 6:46 in the morning, they were doing a news story. Allison Parker and Adam Ward were interviewing a lady and were shot point blank by Fester Flanagan. Now, I guarantee you, even if everything was the same in the situation, but the news anchors and the film cameraman were black, if the white guy killed those two and shot himself, they would still be calling this a hate crime. But they're not. But at least, because I always turn on MSNBC or CNN once in a while just to see what they're talking about. And they at least were, I think, for once, they were actually respectful and say, hey, we lost one of our own. We lost a colleague in news reporting. Because most of them probably have been at the $5 an hour, you know, here's your $12,000 a year to be a news reporter in nowhere, Iowa, or whatever, you know. So, I mean, at least they've not aired the footage. Now, I mean, I've talked about this before, and in a way, I'm not that way, but you can see how someone can say that they're. Are they glamorizing this in a psycho-type way? Like, well, you know, if you're a psychopath like this guy was, who had very bad mental problems, you know, when he was trying to find ways to get someone mad at him, then go off, and he was claiming race this and race that and all these things, you know, that's not a gun. But then, you know, when he had to be escorted out of that job a couple years ago, you know, the big questions they're trying to find out is how did he know where they were going to be? You know, because they don't really readily talk about where they're going to be. And that's one of the big questions is how did he find out? And, of course, Hillary's, well, my gun plan would have solved this. Oh, really? Yes, well, I think, what was it, the 1971... You know, the Drug Enforcement Act that put, like, marijuana as the controlled substance, number one. How did that eliminate it? How has that eliminated cocaine and heroin? Oh, but we have a bill that's going to... Hillary's bill with gun control is going to just solve every problem. You know? Really? No, it's not going to... No, we need... There needs to be a way to get that person help or locked. I'm sorry, but we need to have those... They need to have, like, institutions again. Like, if someone's that bad, they need to be locked up to where they can get help. You know, not necessarily, I mean, they need to be regulated and controlled so there's not, like, people getting electric shock therapy, but I don't, you know, who knows. But I just, to me, I think in the media, like, he's a celebrity in a psycho's mind. I just know, and I just believe in my heart that if that was the exact opposite, you know, if that was a white guy that had killed two black reporters. I think they would be ringing a different, I mean, they would be, and it'd be treated the same, except for they'd be saying that this is, you know, here we go, here's more racial, you know. But since it doesn't fit the agenda of the liberals, they can't say, hey. You know, they have an agenda. Watch one of the guys that, if you ever watch the Young Turks, it's on the internet. They do like news. And I love them because one of those guys was on MSNBC for a while, and he was getting yelled at for calling out conservatives and Democrats too. Don Smith is one of the biggest news people right now, and he's on CNN because he's calling out Republicans. He's calling out like he sees it. Democrats, he's not picking and choosing a side. He's like, if Donald Trump did this and it's wrong, it should be wrong, period. Why is it? Well, who cares if, see, it's right if Hillary Clinton does. Well, we're not going to talk about Hillary doing this because, you know, whatever. Okay, you're to gather dirt on the Republicans only, not Democrats. Okay, you need to find a way to kiss her ass. No, if it's wrong for Ted Cruz to do it, then it should be wrong for Hillary to do it. That's all I try to get out when I post a lot of my things. You know, if you think that getting Obama out of the White House is going to solve all the nation's problems, then you don't understand the problems. But Donald Trump is, I think, starting to be seen as a legitimate candidate, as someone that's real, that's not just this 2 week, 3 week, here today, gone tomorrow. Hey, I got a plan. This is what I'm going to do. You don't like it? Well, guess what, Univision? This is how it is. I'm not going to, I didn't mean to say that. I got to, no. Take the Q-tips out of yours, and I'm going to yell it again. You know? I mean, seriously. You know? I mean, it's just sad how they, like, you know, instead of, I mean, Hillary should have said, like, you know, this is a tragic situation. A guy was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. No, she's like, well, my gun plan would have stopped this. She didn't, you know, I mean, really? You know, like how sympathetic is that? You know, when the only thing you can, well, I mean, and if Obama was notified, it's probably, you know, give condolences to the family of the black guy, not the white people. And that's probably what he would have done. I mean, if he's, yeah, and if he actually, you know, contacted the families of the people that were shot and killed by him, then okay, man, I apologize, but I doubt that's happened. You know, he hasn't called, as far as I know, and I've looked this up a couple times, as far as I know, still to this day, he has not contacted that family who their daughter was killed in San Francisco, in that city where they harbor criminals that are illegal. Oh, you're not going to deport him in San Francisco. This is a safe city. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. If that happened to my mom, I don't know if I'd want Obama to call me. I wouldn't. I mean, to be really honest with you, I wouldn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know? No. And that's, you know, but I mean, just how do we, I mean, there's so much good in this country, and all they, you know, it's like, well, will Biden run? I hope Biden runs. I hope we get more than just Hillary Clinton. You know what I mean? It's almost like, well, yep, she's going to win, you know, like, well, I'm going to see more than just one person because, you know, but I wonder if they're just going to prepare someone just in case they find something to where she can't run. You know, Hillary Clinton can't run. You know, I mean, you got to be prepared, you know. These, oh, you must be one of them Glenn Beck doomsdayer fans. Okay, where did having gold or silver on hand in case the currency collapses? When is being prepared doomsday? Just because, okay, what if, see, my parents, their house caught fire by lightning. Having some like freeze-dried food, that would help them. That wouldn't have been, oh, well, when the country falls apart, you know, there's, you know, this notion that, you know, survival food is, oh, you must think that the world's coming to an end, so you're going to have survival food. I mean, there can be more than just that. You know, there can be more to having that than just you think the world's going to come to an end and you're some anti-government whatever person, you know. I mean, seriously, folks, I mean, it's sad, in my opinion, that, you know, that had to happen with that shooting. But eliminating guns isn't going to solve the problem. You know, I think it is in Virginia, gun sales have gone up and the shootings have gone down. I mean, if I know that my neighbor has a gun, I'm not going to go in there and try to rob them because I know they got a gun, they can shoot me. I guess it's, I don't know. I just want to see. I want to see more than just. I want to see Biden or someone else at least try to run. You know. I mean, but like I've said before, you know, all Michelle Obama would have to do is just put her name in, and she'd be guaranteed. You might as well just give Obama 4 more years. I mean, seriously, I mean, because you got to understand, it's not stereotyping when there are people that, who do you vote for? I vote for Barack Obama. Well, who's his running mate? Well, it's John McCain. But in half of those cases, if not more, they had already voted. And they were asking, what was it about Obama's platform that you voted for? Why did you like, when you voted for Barack Obama, was it because of Sarah Palin? Oh, yeah, I like Sarah Palin. She'll be a great vice president when Obama wins. It wasn't, you know, it's just, I don't know. I just, uneducated voters, and how do you solve that? That's the one most asked question I get asked. How do you educate a person? I would love for you to vote for Hillary Clinton if you know why you're voting for her and what she's going to do and what she stands for and what she's accomplished. I mean, I'm waiting to... Well, I know what she is. Well, I'm waiting to find out if she has accomplished something, and that would be deleting emails. But then, wouldn't that make her guilty? I mean, maybe as a politician, you're like a celebrity and you get a different set of rules than me. You know, I'm... Maybe, I don't know. But I'm just, I mean, I don't, wow. I just get so frustrated when you have all these people that I am, you know, and then when most of the people I know meet me, oh, you're a Democrat, right, Mike? No. I said, well, I just want to put a, I want to get a, I actually want to get a Confederate flag and stick it on the back of my car and say, proud Democrat. Well, I guess, and this is what's funny, I guess he has responded to the WDBJ shooting, but his comments and stuff are so low-key that they're trying to find out why. It was kind of like, He commented, but under the rug. it's just crazy, you know. But then it's just crazy, you know. But it's just, I see this country growing and people waking up, and it's a good thing. I mean, I hope, but there are so many people that I think Donald Trump's starting to wake up, because people are starting to, even on the left, are starting to see. And like someone goes, you like Donald Trump? I said, yeah, because he's calling it. He's not apologizing. He's not, well, I'm sorry for what I said. No, this is, I don't care. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to fix a problem. You know? It's just crazy. I mean, like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, Trump said they're going to do something amazing and special. And I think, I mean, I know, and I've said this before, I've always been a part of what the biggest revolution is the people that are very independent. That, you know, I've always been someone like that. I related so much to that South Park episode, because I've always kind of felt like, since I've been around and I can vote, yeah, I've had a choice between a douche and a turd sandwich. They're both, I don't want to, like, I would love to have, I actually asked this one time. I said, well, where's there none of the above? I said, I don't want to vote for either candidate. I'd love to see, realistically, how many people would have the balls to put on there, I don't want either of them as president. And see, most people, but, I mean, like anyone will tell you, an independent voter is someone that would generally vote Republican, so it would help out the Democratic Party. I honestly think if Ross Perot was not running for president, Bush would have gotten it again. Bush would have gotten it. But when 20,000-some votes here and 20-some thousand votes there and all these, you know, go towards an independent that would have voted for, I mean, he was just someone that, yeah. I mean, General Agnon, Lord help that dude. But he was, I liked him because he was different. He was not establishment. He wasn't the mafia, the government mafia turncoat. You know, I mean, and when you saw how the racing community and how Tony Stewart came and, here's my plane, here's my pilot, whatever you need, go ahead. That was just, it's good to get those snippets. That's why I love listening to K-Love every morning and hearing that, you know, the encouraging story of the day, and just, you know, it's just awesome that you can, that there's some good coming out, you know. Yep, hoping, yeah. It's just great, you know, and that's why I think Donald Trump tries to give us hope again, which we didn't have, because Obama's always apologizing. Well, you know, like we're, you know, like Donald Trump's like, hey, we were a great nation and we'll be one again. Obama always seems like, well, yeah, we have so far to go and, you know, we're down here and, you know, like, hey, we stink. We're always going to stink. Da 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 da. Where Donald Trump's like, hey, we're one of the greatest nations in the world. I will make sure, you know. He just seems more, like I joked to someone, I said, you know what? I've been screwed before. Hey, why not try someone else for a change? You know, and he's someone, he's not where he is. My dad could give me $50 million. I could be born into wealth, but you got to keep the wealth. You got to, you know, he has not just let it falter. And look at all these NBA players. Here's your $100 million, and some of them are bankrupt. So being given lots of money doesn't mean anything, because, you know, he has kept what he's done, because I had someone like, he was born into wealth and yada, 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 and all this stuff. I'm like, well, you know what? But he's kept it up. He hasn't just, like, yeah. And it's just great to see someone, you know, that wants to, because there's so many things I would love to do, but it's hard, you know, when I'm like, okay, well, all the regulations and all the red tape, you know, when you see someone like Pawn Stars and Rick Harrison, like, well, you have no idea how much my insurance has gone up and this has gone up, and, oh, you're just blaming Obama. Okay, well, then who am I supposed to blame? He's the president. Isn't it magical that once this Obamacare passed, everyone I know, all their medical has gone skyrocketing in price? Who am I supposed to blame? You know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but who cares? It's just, you know, I mean, it's redundant. I mean, like, I was watching, they have, like, a three-part series with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on medical cannabis. I'm a huge 100% supporter of medical cannabis, you know, and what you have to do just to go through the DEA and FDA and all these, just to get, it's impossible just to be able to, okay, well, good luck, because I'm 6 years trying to wait for approval just to study this medication. It's amazing, because I remember when I was in high school, I think they said it was like a joint was the equivalent of like a carton of unfiltered cigarettes or some crap, but how can they know that when you can't test it? Well, we don't have enough testing on this, so we don't really know, you know, really. It's like, because it's dividing families, because, hey, my daughter has seizures, and I can't get this medication. And there are families that have uprooted and had to, okay, we have to try to sell a home or break a lease to go out to Colorado to get their medication. I've considered it. I've considered, okay, I love Indiana, but, hey, Colorado, it's legal. I can use it. But then I'd be stranded there because I can't, I mean, technically I couldn't bring it back. I couldn't use it anywhere. I can't, it's not like I can, okay, if you're a card-carrying user, you can't take your cannabis oil with you. Well, you can, but if you get caught, it's illegal. Even if you're a resident, you know, it's just ridiculous. But it's all bureaucratical. It's all, you know, I mean, if you could sit there and say, here's $100 billion, you know, for the politicians, you know, but don't take my word for it. Look it up. Remember those old drug commercials where they used to have like a girl, this is your brain. Then she'd fry eggs. This is your brain on drugs. And this is what it does to your family. She goes to panel rounds. Look into those drug ads and see those anti-drug ads and see who sponsors them. You'll find it's the tobacco industry, the alcohol industry, because they want cigarettes to be seen as good, but marijuana as bad, and coke. You know, not saying use cocaine or anything, but, you know, but when you have the benefits that marijuana and cannabis can provide, you know, I think we're not too far off from that happening. But at the same time, I honestly believe, I believe in 10 years, or maybe even 5 years, if it's not legalized, you'll be able to get a pharmaceutical type. You'll be able to get like a pharmaceutically made, like a Tylenol that's a cannabis. I think that is, because they're trying to work on that. Well, if we can't get to where it's legal, maybe we can, there's, I think, out of Amsterdam or that Austria, and there's a company that's working on making a pharmaceutical cannabis that you can actually, made from cannabis oil and stuff, that you can take. So the thing, say, maybe we can get this passed and it can go through trials and everything, and there you go. And I hope that works. You know, and it's just, I just, because it sucks. I mean, you know, when it does uproot families and stuff happens and you can't, you know. Well, hey, my kid has 20 seizures a day, 30 seizures a day, you know, now he's up to 75 seizures and this medication, and I can't use it now. You know, it's, you know, and how dare, but what gets me is when, how dare you want to give your kid cannabis, but then you want to see the list of highly controlled prescriptions he's on? Okay. Here's this piece of paper that I take to the pharmacy. When I take this special script pad to the pharmacy, they have to verify the DEA number. They have to verify this number. They have to make sure that this person is who they say they are. Then they have to call the doctor. Then they have to say, okay, did you prescribe him this prescription at 25 pills a month, you know, or whatever? And then when they verify all that, then you can get the script filled. And then you're given two scripts, and you have to come back every 3 months. And that has to happen for 10 of your prescriptions. See, but, and then he'd have to hang up. I have to call him back every day. I just can't keep him on the phone for all 20 of them. Oh, but that's okay. But you want to give him CBD oil. That's, oh, how dare you. You should, where's Child Protective Services? Why isn't the kid taken away? And I just, I mean, I guess I do this show because I don't understand where the logic is. But I know where the logic is. It's called money. And when a pharmaceutical is giving you hundreds of billions of dollars, you know, here's a condo in Colorado. Enjoy. Oh, wow. Yeah, I was just, I like watching these things on cannabis, but then when you know that in the end, it really goes nowhere when people try to get, at least hopefully they're trying, but I think even, I don't know what it would take. Because like a Chris Christie is one of those people that like, if I became president, I'd be going after Colorado and all these states, you know, we're not doing any more of this testing, so let me get this straight. So I don't know how anyone could not want to see it. If a drug has potential to cure. As we move on, folks, I just don't get it. You might wonder, what's next for Manchester United after they had a clean sheet with Newcastle United this past Sunday? Well, we got our answer. As they took on Club Brugge and had a 7-1 aggregate with 4-0 win. And two things. If you don't know what aggregates are, well, I mean, if you might know, but in football, they'll play like two games and or three games, and the aggregate is, okay, if you win the first game 4-0, the other team has to get four just to be even 4-4 on aggregates. So, you know, and I can, it's, someone said this to me, and I'm like, well, Wayne Rooney got three goals, got a hat trick. Amen. What I said in the past, and I've said it again, you know, we need to let people try out for captain, and if Wayne Rooney ends up being the best, he is. I'm not saying he shouldn't be the captain. He's incredible, you know. Everyone's going to have a drought now and then, but, you know. I mean, what happens if he hurts his leg? I would want to have someone that, hey, he's on, we've had him on certain games take over as captain just in case something happens to Wayne Rooney. Or vice versa, you know. I'm just saying, you know. I don't think we need a striker. I think we got the team we got. If we get a striker, yeah, but I like the team we have. Everyone there wants to, like, they want to win. They want it for the fans. They want to bring Manchester United back to dominance. And that's great, you know. And I don't, you know, I don't, that's the big thing is, the million-dollar question, is a striker needed? And I don't think so. I think we got great players. And I think Memphis Depay and Wayne Rooney are going to be incredible. I'm just excited. I'm one of those people that I love to watch. I'll watch Chelsea if they got a great player just to see that guy. I mean, I love every once in a while I go on YouTube. Thank you, YouTube, whoever invented that, man. Because you can go on there and you can watch the old videos of Ruud van Nistelrooy. And Nistelrooy, oh, he was just incredible. Would you think, like, I mean, he was like a magician on that field. Like, you know, oh, that went in, what the heck? How in the, I mean, 1 minute the ball's bouncing off his head, then it comes down and kicks it and it goes right over the, it's incredible. It's just, I don't know, to me, I love it. And I think my wife said, and this is, I guess I never thought about this, but I think one of the main reasons is they don't, it's not like, okay, you know, they don't stop. An NFL player wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't even be able to hang 5 minutes on a football field because they'd be like, I'm used to doing a play and then sitting down. Oh my, you know, I mean, they go nonstop. No, you don't see a fat soccer player. No, you don't. Excuse me. But you don't. But it's an incredible sport. And any of my fans that listen that don't watch it, check it out. It's great. It's just funny when you think about, like, when you talk to people, like, you know, I can see more Premier League games in America than they can in England, you know, depending where you're from, you know. If you're from Yorkshire, if you're from, like, Kerry, Liverpool, or wherever, you know, it just depends, you know. But it's my thing away, you know. And to all you baseball fans out there, that game, oh, I'm like Verlander, my Justin, he almost had no hitter. What happened ninth inning? He is 3 outs away from a no-hitter. And it goes down the sideline, and it hits right. And you see the paint from the foul line come up. I'm like, oh. And you can tell Justin just like, oh, nervous. Like, okay, they can win this game now. It doesn't matter. I didn't get a no-hitter. But then he just and got it done, and it was just like, yes. Now, I'm sure the next day he probably had ice and 10 pounds of Bengay on his shoulder and everything. But, I mean, he's up there in age. You know, he's probably got a couple seasons left in him. But he just, it's just great to see him and see Miggy back. And they lost today, of course, you know, 2-0. But, I mean, it's still a great game. I was, you know, I was doing stuff with my mom, so I didn't get to catch it all. Because, yeah, it's my vice. It's like when Manchester United's on, or the Tigers are on, or I can just go in and just like get away from everything, you know. And it's just, I think it's going to be a great ending to the season for the Tigers. They're a team I'll watch. I don't care. I mean, they win or lose. Yeah, you know, if it's like 12-0, I'll sometimes shut the game. Sometimes I'll watch it, but usually I shut it because it's not worth it. But, you know, I think because even though they got rid of Dave Dombrowski, you know, Alavila, he'd been there. It's an easy transition. I think he's going to make it better. I think it's going to get even better. And, I mean, I think next year, watch out. I mean, not that this year is done yet, but I think we're going to, I mean, just like the start of the season for Manchester United. I mean, look out, because I think we're going to be a team to be reckoned with. You know, second or third, I think will be is very doable. You know, if we got first, I wouldn't be surprised if we won the Premier League this year. But second or third is where I got us. I mean, we're just we're a team that's going to have some great players. It's going to be fun to watch, to see Memphis Depray, you know, just like it is, just like in baseball, watching Miggy. You know, it's just fun to watch Cabrera up at bat, you know. It's just going to be, I think it's going to be a great, great, great season. And I got about 3 minutes left in the program, folks. And I want to thank you all for tuning in, and thank you all for listening to the program. I decided to do the week, change the name to the Weekly Conversation, because it's once a week, and it's Thursdays at 9 now. And it's something that, for me, it's not just about me. You know, it's everyone is involved. You know, this is about current events. This is about health. And, you know, I mean, you should be involved. I mean, you don't have to support medical cannabis and say, hey, why can't someone have the option to try this? Why isn't there equal play in the media, you know? Maybe if we had cannabis legal, we may not need to have as many of these. And I do want to get this out again. 9 Hours Brothers, East Side, October 11th, 2015, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's a St. Baldrick's event. It's incredible. If you want to contact the event contact person, Stringer, her phone number is 765-532-5866, and she can get you, even if you don't live in Indiana, she can probably, you can actually donate by phone if you want to, and I will give you the phone number so you can help donate. And the phone number is 1-888-899-2253. That number again is 888-899-2253. Got about 60 seconds left, but that's for a great cause. It helps out kids who deal with childhood cancers and helps with research and everything. And that's just a great, great cause. And I support it. And, you know, so thank you all for tuning in. There's about 38 seconds left, and it's just great. I'm just so inspired with, you know, because I'm just an election nut, and I love politics, and to see someone like Trump out there, you know, waking up crowds, and, oh, wow, this auditorium ain't big enough, we need a bigger one, you know, it's just great. And I hope he wakes up the nation as a whole, whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent, it doesn't matter. God bless you all. Until next week, good night. Goodbye.